Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you're curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hello, my lovelies. Hello, I'm back. It's Jamie. It's Jamie here again of the Queer Family Podcast. I love saying that name. I love saying it. We have the new name. We're rebranding. If in case you didn't know, we're rebranding. I have a new name, the Queer Family Podcast. We have a new logo, which was beautifully designed by Deneen Stefanato, a listener who reached out and wanted to help out. We have a new theme song that was created by the woman who created our original theme song, Tiffany Topol, and she's created a song that won't get out of my head. My kids are singing it now. It's so good. You've heard snippets of it. You haven't heard the entire thing yet, but that is coming. That is coming. And what we're doing right now, what I'm doing right now, I keep talking in we because I'm just so used to it, but it's really me and some helpful people who are helping me from the sidelines. I have to give a shout out to Romaine Patterson, who will be coming in to update you on things as well. But, oh, Romaine has been a godsend to me. Thank you, Romaine. But what we're doing this week and in the days leading up to our season 11 season premiere launch, which is happening on February 6th, mark your calendars. Obviously, you already marked your calendars. What am I thinking? Of course, there's a big, huge rainbow on your calendar for February 6th. And if there's not, go put it there now. That is our season premiere for the Queer Family Podcast. But what we're doing leading up to it is another change that's happening is I am bringing in friendly guest contributors. Friends from previous episodes who had really great episodes are going to come in season 11 and help me introduce the new episodes. And so what I'm doing this week is releasing their original episodes. And it has been so fun to revisit these episodes. I just listened to today's and I'm blown away. First of all, it's always fun to go back and see where we were in season 4. We were still in the beginning of this journey. Robin and I were, we had so much fun. It's so fun to hear us banter back and forth and make fun of each other. And I miss that. That was so fun. But also a lot has changed even since that. That was a couple years ago. And God, for the queer community, so much has even changed since then. So do listen with that in mind. But it's still a very prevalent conversation, and it still means a lot in today's age as well. I mean, we've changed, but we haven't changed that much, right? But so, and if you didn't listen yesterday, go back and listen to that one. That was Tiffany and Carissa. The episode was titled Race and Donor Choice, and we had a really open and candid conversation about grappling over your donor. And today, Catherine and Nick, these beautiful, beautiful human beings. Catherine and Nick. Here's it in a nutshell. Nick lived as a woman. He birthed 4 babies. He met Catherine. They fell in love. Nick transitioned. And now they're just another beautiful family with 5 kids in a minivan. But there's so much more to it. Ugh. And we have a really rich, make sure you stay through to the end. We have a really rich freaking conversation about gender that I was blown away by. I'm so glad I re-listened to it. And I have an episode coming up in season 11 that talks a lot about gender. And I'm excited to get Nick's take on it, and Catherine's for that matter. So, I am having so much fun going back and listening. So, but anyway, you don't want to hear me yammer anymore. This episode is about Catherine and Nick. Take a listen, reacclimate yourselves with them. And get ready for season 11 because it's coming. Okay. Helen, Beulah, they're both there. They're holding hands. It's the cutest thing ever. Roll the tape, guys. Y'all, roll the tape, you two. You two lovebirds.
Love is love is love is love.
This episode is brought to you by the Motherload Podcast and BetterHelp. And we are very happy to have them on board.
Yes, we are. We really are. Hi there. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Oh my God, I'm Robin.
And I'm Jamie. I have a bone to pick with you, actually, Robin.
Oh my God, on air?
Yes.
You could have done it the half hour before we got here?
We didn't introduce our...
Can I tell you?
I can't believe you let me not introduce us.
Last season? Episode?
First episode.
Can I tell you what's so crazy right now is that as you said I have a bone to pick, and as we were saying that, I was like, we didn't do that last week.
Yeah.
It was our first one back, Jamie.
Oh gosh, you guys, we're just getting back on that roller coaster.
All right. Welcome to our podcast.
Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Folks, October, which is tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, if you're just listening on the day that it comes out, because of course you are. But October is LGBT History Month.
That's amazing.
I just learned that.
Yeah, me too. And right now.
Yeah. I learned it on the wiki. And it's the annual month-long observance of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender history and the history of gay rights and related civil rights movements. That's loaded.
Let's have some cake, rainbow cake.
I feel like this movement seems like it should be up to more than us just eating cake, but we can start with cake. That's our contribution.
And learn some history about, our history.
Right. Guys, if you don't get enough of this yammering between Jamie and I, you need to get on Patreon and become one of our Patreons. Is that how you say it? Patreons?
I think so.
Patreons.
It's a play on the word patron.
And you're going to get access to all these behind the scenes videos, extra questions to our guests. So like behind the scenes content, some polls.
We're talking parenting.
Yeah. So more of us.
More of us. Oh, can
God,
you imagine?
That's the worst sales ever.
So become a member on patreon.com/ovariestalk to get access to all that business. All right, that's enough of us.
I know. Let's get to our guests. Everyone's like, shut up.
Try to talk.
Mark Maron. They just like fast forward through his 14-minute monologue.
Nobody's listening anymore.
Yes.
Nick and Catherine. Mm-hmm. Nick and Catherine.
Oh my God. Soon to be our best friends.
Okay. So here's the deal. Nick had 4 babies.
Yep.
And that met Catherine, who also had 1 baby.
Yep. And then they accidentally fell in love.
Right. And then Nick transitioned.
Yep.
And now they're your average suburban family.
I don't think any of us are average. We're above average. They're above average.
They're spectacular.
You're going to fucking love these 2.
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
I mean,
you are.
Total honesty, total amazing interview. Let's get to them.
Eye-opening.
Should we get to them?
Yeah, come on. Let's bring them in. Actually, they're not here. They're in
also Jamie
Canada.
All right. Here's Nick and Catherine.
Hi.
Oh my God. We have Nick and Catherine with us remotely. Welcome. And they're in Canada.
Canada.
Oh my God. I had to do this.
It's not a cool thing.
I know.
You should probably say sorry now.
I'm sorry, Canada.
Where in Canada are you guys?
We're in Calgary, Alberta.
Okay. And are you from there or moved there or?
I am from the Toronto area and moved here about 13 years ago.
I'm actually from Portland, Oregon by way of Tokyo.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
So I spent many, many years in Japan. I lived there as a kid and then I went back there as an adult and had a baby. And actually moved back to Portland, Oregon after the 2011 earthquake and tsunami.
Oh my goodness.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And then I had 5 years in Portland and then I fell in love with this one and moved up to the great, great north.
I'm going to feel like a bad person for just jumping off of the tsunami and going right into your elevator pitch, but I really want to know your elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Tell us the elevator pitch about you and your family.
Well, we are a pretty normal suburban family of seven, mom, dad, 5 kids, a terrible goober of a dog, except for our minivan. It's just a little more rainbow. So I am a dad who used to be the mom. I birthed 4 of our 5 kids and we're a blended family. I have a wonderful ex-husband who we share custody of 4 of our kids with. And then there's this lovely human, my wife.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I fell in love with Nick when I was almost 40. And it was kind of ironic because I was a total cynic and I didn't even believe in true love. I didn't actually think that that was a thing until it, you know, hit me like the proverbial hammer, I guess. And so a few years later, much to my own surprise, I found myself moving from Portland, Oregon, where I had been a very happy solo mom to 1 kid, moving to a suburban town outside Calgary in Canada, where I became mom to 5.
Wow. Can I ask, Catherine, how you had your kid?
By the way, I thought you guys were in like your late 20s.
It's like ridiculous. Your faces are fantastic.
I'm only 34, but
you guys are beautiful.
Yes.
You both look 12. So
4 kids by 34.
4 kids at the age of 30. I had actually right before I turned 30, I had my 4th child at 29 and 355 days.
Holy
crap.
Jeez.
You know the days.
355 days.
Okay. So we're back to you and how you made your child.
Okay. So I am living in Tokyo. I was doing voiceovers and then I became pregnant and I decided to become a mom and have my kiddo. And I was in a partnership at the time with someone from New Zealand. And we ended up amicably separating several years later. There was a tsunami and an earthquake in there and I moved to Portland.
Wow. And was your partner at the time the other parent of the child?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Biological parent.
Biological parent. Yes. Okay. And is he there too with you in Calgary?
No, he lived in Tokyo for a long time and recently moved to Australia.
Wow.
So we are all over.
Yeah.
And Nick, your story, you're like the 4 kids at 19.
At 19, married a pastor. We quickly left the church.
Okay.
Did you have to leave the church?
No, it was just the thing where we were like, oh, we're done now.
But you were both pretty religious.
We were religious. We sort of like we were like, oh, we're really nice people. We're like doing it right. Yeah, I don't know. We're like doing life good. And then
did you have any indication that maybe this was like not the marriage for you to be in, or were you like, no, I'm all in?
I was all in. I was super. Yeah. And he was my best friend. He still is a really good friend of mine. He's I just married the nicest guy I could find. And then I was like, let's have a bunch of kids. So at 22, I guess it wasn't right away. First we went and we moved to Vancouver and we moved to Calgary for his job. And then we built a house that had all these empty rooms in it, because that's what you do in Calgary, you should build a house. And then at 22, I had a 3-bedroom house with no children. And I was like, well, I guess we better fill it up. And so
you didn't think about antiques.
No,
thought let's have 4 children.
Yeah. So we had our first kid. And then 16 months later, we were like, let's do it again. And we had a second kid 16 months later. I was really into like bang, bang. And I really wanted 4 kids because even numbers are nice. And like it, it would be good. And I had a really kind of shitty childhood and I didn't really have much of a family. And so I was like, I'll create my own family.
You're going to fix some stuff. Yeah. You were going to fix
it. Fixing the friggin' world.
By the way, we all do that. We all do that.
I was going to ask if you had a large family, but
no, just it. So I technically have three siblings, but they're all half siblings from different relationships. I was raised essentially as an only child until I was 13.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so it seems like you liked being pregnant.
No, being pregnant is the fucking worst experience.
It is. It's the worst.
And anyone who says it's not, I believe that they're either A, lying piece of shit, or B, the Men in Black guys came along with the little light and they were like, let me tell you a story about this.
Yes.
You love being pregnant. You feel close to the earth.
But you know,
that's a total lie.
But they're all lies.
So, Catherine, you're in the same boat too. You know, I mean, obviously,
being pregnant. I think I had this inkling that it might be my only chance to get to do it, and so I sort of loved it. But I also had to hide it until well into month five because I was working as an actor in Tokyo, and so it took a lot of very creative costuming.
There's no pregnant actors in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely not allowed.
Did you give birth in Tokyo?
I did. Or were you out of midwives in what they call a birth house? So it's like just a normal house staffed by a bunch of midwives. So I got to have a water birth, which was really amazing. I have to say the midwives made me crazy, but wow, their statistics are incredible. So, you know,
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. That's a whole, I know nothing about birth in Japan.
Well, that maybe we'll get some bonus content for our Patreon listeners. Mm-hmm. So Nick, when did it all go to hell in a handbasket? You have four kids. I mean, like when were you
like, gone to hell in a handbasket. Well,
whatever the proper term is. Like when were you like, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
It was super great. I was like, oh, I figured out this whole thing. Happiness is when you have to go through the terrible hardship and torture of being pregnant. But then at the end of it, they give you a baby out of your vagina.
Yes.
And
amazing.
Other places. And
not your butt.
Yeah. No. But they give you this baby at the end of it and you're like, oh, life has purpose. Yep. I was really good at being mom. I love my babies. I think that the first 6 months of a human's life is like the most precious time ever.
Incredible.
I just want to spend every second with them. Like I could just be a stay-at-home infant parent for the rest of my life and be really happy.
So you had your two.
Then our second kid had a lot of delays and they thought he was going to be on the spectrum and he didn't speak until he was four and there's all this stuff. And I was like, whoa, parenting is fucking... I always wanted four kids until I had two of them. And I was like, slow the fuck down. Do not do that so quickly. Hold your roll. This is really hard. We paused for 4 years.
Was it two boys four or you years. Had a daughter first?
A daughter and then a son. And then a pause. And then I was like, you know what? Well, that life was like felt empty and I didn't know what to do with myself. And my kids all were getting ready to go to school. And I was like, you know what makes me happy? Babies, we should have two more. That idea of four is a great idea. So I had one child in November, and then the following December, I had my fourth kid.
Holy cow!
Because so you were pregnant for 2 years. Just it snuck in so much faster, time after time.
Was the emptiness about you and your identity versus it, or was it about just like you wanted a house full? Like what was that?
I think it was a little bit of everything. I think it was this, like, I was chasing happiness. I was chasing this like feeling of fulfillment. I was chasing something other than like, well, I guess this is all there is. And I love my babies, like more than anything else. I just friggin' love my babies. And so I filled that hole again by having the fourth kid, but this time, it was an emergency C-section. He was born 4 weeks early. The emergency C-section was because he was stuck sideways and tried to come out hand first. And then I'm one of the 2% of the population that an epidural just doesn't work on. Only the left side of my body froze. The right side just completely going. So I had an emergency C-section that I had to be put under for. And then because he was stuck, I had like a vertical and a horizontal incision, but my vertical one was inside, not outside. So you can't see it. Oh, okay. They did give me a tummy tuck out of it. That was nice.
Oh, that's delightful.
And then our kiddo had a diabetic seizure and went into shock and then had to be NICU'd to a different hospital. And all of was on Christmas Day. Literally the doctors and nurses are like, it's a Christmas miracle. And I was like, you motherfuckers, there's nothing miraculous about this. This is the worst. Like,
yeah.
So then 4 months later, I left my husband for my wife.
Oh, okay.
You know, when you first have your like grown up house and your parents come to visit you and you kind of feel like you're playing house a little bit. It always felt like that.
Your first dinner party.
Yeah. I was always like super in charge of it and like awesome. I was a great mom. I was a killer mom. I will give myself that. I don't have mom guilt and say I wasn't anymore. I'm like, no, I was really good at that. I think that more moms should say that, but.
Yeah, we should.
Amen. Yeah. I say the opposite, but.
They all think.
Anyway.
But it was this thing where I was my best friend and I had done all the things and I had like, I still wasn't happy. And I was so in love with her and she didn't know it. And I was like, it's fine. Cause she's straight also.
Oh, so Catherine, that's what I was going to ask. Were you gay?
Yeah. So I now say that I'm pansexual, but I only learned that word a couple of years ago. So I would have said I was bi for a long time.
Uh-huh. What is the true definition of pansexual and how does it differ from, I don't know, queer or...
The language is complicated and the language is always evolving. So what I'm going to say now may not be true in 3 months or 6 months. But as far as I understand it right now, the reason that we've moved away from saying bisexual is because it sort of says without saying that there are only two genders, right? So there's like A and B. Whereas pansexual means you could fall in love with any human for their heart and their mind and their body. Yeah, and it doesn't matter which of any of the many, many gender expressions they happen to be.
And you're open.
Yeah.
It's the people.
I think I'm pansexual. I think I'm totally I'm pansexual.
Okay. So at the time, had you dated women before?
Yes. But I hadn't dated anybody in so long. I was 100% single the whole time I was in Portland.
How old was your, it's a daughter or son?
Daughter. She was 4 when we went to Portland.
So you were in it.
Yeah. And do you share Nick's feelings or were you just like, oh, we're just friends? Like, did you know that Nick was coming for you?
I met Nick and we fell in love with each other in this super, totally 100,000,000% platonic way.
True.
Like when you meet someone who's going to become a really good friend, you know how you kind of just recognize each other and you're like, I've been waiting for you. And then Nick is like, he was like, and I'm happily married. I have two kids at home. He had a baby in his arms. And he's like, and guess what? No one knows, but I'm pregnant. And I was like, and your partner is, he's like, this great guy. And I was a little confused.
And you were like, huh.
I totally would have pegged you for being queer. But
I didn't look that different than I do now, for being honest. I just had some pink on and my hair was blonde.
So your hair was the same. Your hair is very short. So was it this short?
It wasn't this short, but it was definitely a lesbian haircut. Like if
so, you looked like an intense soccer mom.
I was like very Megan Rapinoe looking.
Gotcha. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So so Nick was so clearly off limit. So there was no danger, right? It was safe.
Sure.
I was like, wow, I think this person is really hot. But that's okay, they're married. I'm a big girl. I can keep my hands off other people's partners. Mm-hmm. No problem. We'll just be friends.
Yeah, totally.
Famous last word.
Well, by the way, that never works.
Also, Nick wasn't like sending you any like vibes at the
How could he? He was holding a baby. He was pregnant. There was like so many babies attached to him at any point.
Yeah.
But you weren't sending the vibes out, but were you feeling the vibes inside?
I instantly knew that I was like, this woman is literally the most gorgeous person I've ever laid eyes on. I just want to hold her hand. And at one point, the second time we hung out in real life, I literally complimented her lips and then was like, shut the fuck up. People don't talk about other people's lips.
By the way, I can tell you the number of times that I've talked about Jamie's lips is never.
Yeah.
Should have been.
So you're right. You are right. Hey, folks, I am excited and Jamie is excited to tell you about the Motherload podcast. This is an alternative parenting show from actresses and friends Constance Zimmer and Missy Pyle, which rips the Band-Aid off the reality of what it takes to be a parent.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Together with a variety of celebrity friends and experts, Constance and Missy build an unfiltered parenting community filled with authentic conversations and experiences.
And it's from anonymous confession lines to listener questions. questions and advice. This is a podcast that is a reminder to everyone that they are not alone in this crazy journey called parenthood.
Don't we all need that? We need that reminder. And if you like what you hear, head over to the Motherload podcast and hit subscribe.
Do you know they have that underwear that is all the days of the week?
I want to talk about the days of the week, Chet. First of all, they can't read.
Okay. No, but you can.
I know, but my daughter, I got her the days of the week socks. And then she was obsessed with wearing the one for that day.
That's right.
But I only got one set. So anyone's out there and you're getting day of the week panties or underwear, you need to get two sets. Because then if they get them dirty, it's like, well, I can't wear Wednesday because we're still on Tuesday, but I need to change your socks.
Why don't you just put one Tuesday sock on and one plain sock, and then you will always have...
Put two different matching socks. My daughter's like, mismatch. This doesn't match. This doesn't match. I'm like, sometimes it's cool to not match. And she's like, not interested.
Did you have a feeling, like, was it conscious for you? I don't feel the way I feel about Catherine that I feel about my current husband. Like, was that conscious for you or was that buried?
It was a thing where I think probably for the last year and a half, I had been struggling with the fact that like, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure that I'm into chicks, but it was always safe for me because Catherine was straight. So I truly believed that it was 100% safe.
She's shaking her head straight, now.
But it was just that she's femme and I was not an educated queer because I didn't know I was queer at the time. So I didn't realize that there were all sorts of lesbian ways of being in the world. And I was like, well, there's no chance.
And in retrospect, it's ridiculous because we talked about everything. We would have these long, long intimate conversations, not intimate, like romantic, but just deep friend conversations. And yet we never, ever talked about sex. We didn't talk about dating. We didn't
talk about it,
which is like in retrospect, oh, that should have been a sign, right?
What you don't talk about is just as interesting as what you do.
Yeah. So then she hired me to do her website because I owned a website development company. And I was like, sure, I'll come out and do new photos for the site. We'll do whatever.
I better fly to where you are to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll expense the whole thing.
And perfect. It'll be great. I'll bring the baby. And so our four-month-old... in arms, I flew to Portland and the next night we went out with her book club and we had the best time and there was wine drank and it was delightful. And she touched the back of my neck just in that way. And so then quickly when we got home, she instantly built a barrier between us of pillows on the couch. And after 3.5 minutes, I was like, well, I should go to bed now. And then went to bed.
About, I've been so excited about Nick coming to visit me and meeting the baby. And then about 10 days before they were supposed to arrive, I started to get really nervous. And I was like, why? What is going on? And after some deep introspection, I realized, you know, I think I have feelings for Nick that are not just friendly. And then I felt like a total jerk. And so I was like, all right, lock it down, shut it up. Like, this is not, nope, this is, I love this person. I'm not going to be gross. Right. So then I erected walls of pillows and bedtimes and tried to keep it all really platonic and safe.
So then I admitted in a text message at 2 a.m. that I was gay and that this didn't have to change anything between us, but she was the first person I was...
From the couch?
From the guest bedroom, which was her daughter's bedroom. Yeah. And then she didn't read it until the next morning where I just laid awake all night counting the cars waiting to see when she would. And then she came in all bleary eyed and was like, oh, I love you. And I was like, oh, thanks. And I knew it was this tender, like, you're safe. Thank you for telling me. And then literally the first thing that she says after that is like, you know, I'm bi, right? And then she walks over and kisses me on the forehead and says, but don't worry, I won't fall in love with you, and kisses me on the forehead and I die 1,000 deaths.
Wow.
Until like 10 hours later where we're sitting on a park bench and I go to declare my love for her because I told her that I'm going to leave my husband when I go home. And like, this is just the only way to do it. Like, I have to do the right thing. And now that I've said it out loud, I have to do it. And so I go to tell her, declare my love for her, and she interrupts me and says...
So Nick said, I'm going to be brave now and say something. And I said, no, I think you've been brave enough. Why don't I say something?
She said, I don't think that you should blow up your marriage, but if you're going to anyway, I'd like, when you're ready to take suitors, I'd like to be first in line. You know that feeling when like all the blood rushes to your head and your ears have blocked everything out and you guys are just stared ahead. But I was like, well, she seems to not be talking anymore. I think I'm supposed to respond now. We were sitting side by side on a park bench and I just reached over because I couldn't speak and I put my pinky finger over her pinky finger.
Yeah.
And then we've been in love since.
Yeah. And so then we had some very, very terrifying conversations because, you know, blended families, you don't date, like you don't just like, well, let's see if it works out. We lived in different countries. Right. We both had kids. Nick was married. So the question, you know, within about 15 minutes of declaring our love for each other was like, well, are you going to go back?
Now what?
We'll just sort of stop communicating. Or are we going to like get married and spend our lives together?
Holy crap.
I have to, have you kissed yet?
No.
They haven't kissed yet.
I know.
You don't even know if you like the kiss. I mean, obviously, you're talking about sex, Jamie.
So maybe 20 minutes later, we're in the kitchen and leaned over and kissed me. And then I kissed her back.
You kissed her back.
And then I pulled away and she was like, I love you. And I said, I think I love you too. And then she said, do you want to get married? And I paused for a second and I said, yes, okay.
I'm going to definitely divorce first, but then yes.
Because the legal rules state.
This first sticker, this getting divorced.
This, by the way, you have given a new, like, this has got to be a world record for U-Haul. Like, this is, there is nothing faster than, like, what you two did. It's physically impossible for it to be faster.
Well, I mean, it wasn't physically that fast because then I had to go home and get divorced. And then we waited.
Like you do.
Yeah. Then we waited 10 months before we introduced our kids back into each other's lives and let them grieve. Marriage is ending and things happening. And
it was
then
over a year before.
It was 17 months before we moved in together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So just for sake of, we have so much ground to cover. I want to shift a little bit and say, so when did you, Nick, begin transitioning and how did that all affect and go down?
So then the sex happened and that was great.
I'm so glad that happened, by the way. Thank you.
I'm so happy great that happened. And then I think honestly, part of that was like her being feminine allowed me to play with the masculine. I hadn't ever had that before. So the getting to like experience what it felt like to be the masculine person in the relationship. And every time I had even just a taste of it, I was like, oh, that feels good. And the more I moved towards it, the more I felt happy and better in myself. And like it was like I could remember who I was in this sort of way. Like I was coming home to myself.
That's a beautiful I liked way
it.
To put it.
Yeah, I like the way you said, like, remember who I was. It's something that's new to you, but it's not you. New to you because it is you. Like, that's a fantastic way of putting it.
This whole thing, your whole story is like souls colliding.
We're doing and this now again.
And now you're saying, I'm remembering who I am. It's like so cosmic. What is that? I feel like you guys are like these ethereal beings right now, and we're just like peons.
Don't forget about all the diapers and the vomiting and the potty training. All that was happening too.
Yeah, like there was my first Christmas alone as a single parent. All four of the children got the worst stomach flu that has ever happened.
Yeah, of course they did.
And then it just rotated. They just kept giving it to each other. Oh, I did 27 loads of laundry in 5 days. It was so all of that happened also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. What? So how old were each of your kids when the split up happened?
So the split up, they were 4 months. They were a year and 17 months, a year and a half. And they would have been seven and six.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Catherine, yours was
nine. So yeah, we did every other weekend. I would fly to Portland every other weekend because the kid's other dad would take them for the long, like Thursday night until Sunday.
Wow. Okay. So then let's fast forward to, and then new changes begin to happen.
Yeah. And then the more I was me, it was Catherine that started asking questions like,
I'm a life coach. I can't help myself.
So she's a life coach. So she starts asking me the questions like, it seems as though you're enjoying this, or like it just sort of started as her peeling an onion that I was like really grateful for someone to start asking the questions because I didn't know how to start talking about it without someone asking, I think.
So Catherine, you knew?
No, I had no idea what was going to be inside.
Oh, that. Really?
I just, it was like second nature to me. Mm-hmm. I could tell, I don't know. It was like we were unpeeling these layers of each other. And even though we had gotten to know each other so well in so many ways, I did have this feeling that like, there's still something else under there, but I didn't know mm-hmm. what I was looking for. I just knew that there was something else that still wanted to come out.
But Nick, you say like it was refreshing for somebody to ask me the questions, but it feels to me like you had no idea that this was even going to come out before this, right?
I knew
right?
as a kid so- who I was, but it was so not okay. It was so like, that's not okay. And it was mostly my grandma just being like, nope, that's like, I remember sitting on my steps just crying and being like, I'm a boy and I don't understand why I can't just be who I am. But over time, the number of times people are like, well, this is just the cards you have. Like, that's not a thing. And I honestly didn't even, I don't truly believe I knew that a trans, like what being transgender was or the word until I saw Laverne Cox on Orange is the New Black. Like, I was
real
deep down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, we've heard even just lesbians say this, like, I didn't know I was gay because I just didn't see it. I never saw it. I didn't know that this was an option, even though they were gay the whole time.
So what you're saying is like all these people telling you that's, no, you're not who you say you are. Right. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. And then what a tremendous capacity we have to put things away.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it wasn't right. You're told deeper. It's not right.
And it wasn't
it's
safe.
Yeah.
Right.
And the still people not. Who were telling you you couldn't be that, they were trying to keep you safe too.
Yeah, I truly believe that my grandma was just trying to keep me safe. I think that everyone else in my life didn't know what to do with it, but my grandma was just really trying to keep me safe. And then it was this thing where like, I am the kind of person where once I've realized something and I say it out loud, I'm like, oh God, but this has to happen now. I don't have a lot of, I have a lot of quick start and I just am ready to go. So once I said it out loud and it was this thing where I was like, no, I'm a man. And first you were very much like, no, I mean, you're just probably androgynous. You're just very masculine presenting. And I was like, no, I'm a man. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And it was a difficult thing for you. You were like, but finally I'm a lesbian. Like,
yeah, you're like, wait, no, I'm not.
And I had fallen in love like a kid, like I was almost 40. I had never been in love like this. Like I loved the way Nick smelled. I loved the way he tasted. I loved the way his skin felt. And it was so disorienting for him to be like, actually, nope, I am someone else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so it's kind of a,
like you fell in love with someone and then you were afraid that person was being taken away.
Exactly.
You know exactly what you're getting. And you love every single aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to Catherine's credit, she never once asked me not to transition. She never once told me, like made me believe that she wouldn't be there for me. It was just a grieving process for her too. And I think often we make the transition so much about the trans person rather than the people that are supporting them. And it is about us. It is like, we're the ones that have gone through this socialization of not being normal or typical for all this time, of not knowing who we are, of not like, of just the physical distress of being in the wrong body for me personally is intense, but it doesn't take away from the fact that she is having her partner change right in front of her and that she gets to have complicated feelings about that. And so much in the community, there's not space for that. There's space for either, oh, they're the exact same person. There's nothing different. But everything is rosy. Or there's space for, it's all a nightmare. They've turned into a monster and you're going to have to leave them. There's nothing in between, you know? And so it was more complicated than.
Mm-hmm. It was a very lonely time for me because I searched, you know, as you do on the Google to find out what was going to happen, right?
Where we all look for our help.
Yeah. And all I could find were these very black and white narratives. And I didn't like either of those. I didn't believe that taking testosterone and you know, completely changing his body and his chemical makeup would have no effect on him. That just seemed ludicrous to me. And in fact, it had a huge effect on him. But it also felt like, okay, but just because a lot of guys get really excited with this big testosterone surge and start sleeping around, isn't it possible that there could be an adult man who would not necessarily do that? And so we were looking... I was looking for a more nuanced narrative. And we really had a hard time finding one, which is actually part of why we made our documentary, because we wanted to tell a more nuanced, complicated story.
I said it already. These are the stories we need to see in the world. This story is, like you said, it's so nuanced. Yeah. It's so beautiful. It's kismet.
We've talked to how many people, and it's like, there's new details for us and there's new, it's like, it's so personal and specific to each couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like all of our family stories.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. That's the whole thing that we talk about, is that like the thing that we typically try and hide away, that we're most ashamed of, that we're most like, oh, that makes me not normal and weird and I don't like it, I'm embarrassed, is actually the thing that makes us the most beautiful. That, you know, the fact that I have, right? Like, it's the things that we're most afraid of telling the others about are the things that actually are the most beautiful. The fact that I have a past of birthing children and have been able to carry our kids, and I can understand what that feels like. I can understand the bond that you have with a child you literally grow inside of you. That's a great thing. That's a beautiful thing. The fact that I know what it's like to be both a stay-at-home mom and a work-in-the-world mom and a single sole provider mom and a provider father and a work-from-home father. Like, I know I have this breadth of experience that most people just don't get to have.
All the aspects. And all the aspects.
I can choose to hide that and be embarrassed of it, or I can choose to make it my superpower.
Robin, yes. I need help.
I know.
My kids are sapping the energy out of me and I'm losing all my joy. I'm exhausted. Seriously, I feel like I'm walking around in a fog all day trying to achieve goals and failing at every turn.
Listen, you need to breathe immediately. You are a mom. It's totally normal to feel this way. Also, I've got something for you.
What?
BetterHelp.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, they are going to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating with them in under 24 hours.
It's a good idea. I need to go back to my counselor.
Oh my God, that's right. You were going to BetterHelp. You quit.
I fell off the wagon over the summer. You're right. And it's nice to know that she's literally just a couple of clicks away.
I mean, that is the beauty of BetterHelp.
It is.
You can just log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses.
Every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is why Mary loves it so much, because you can schedule a weekly video or phone session so that you don't have to sit in that stupid waiting room. Stares at you and goes, why are you crazy?
I know. It really is a great service. And for our listeners who don't know about it yet, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches for you, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need it. And the service is available worldwide. And there's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be locally available in many areas.
Yeah.
So you get BetterHelp.
Yeah. Sometimes you might need something specific.
Yeah. Right, see what I did?
Yeah. No, stop that. I just want to also clarify though, guys, that this isn't a crisis line.
No.
It's not self-help. It's a professional counseling done securely online. Mm-hmm. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Oh, P.S. Financial aid is available.
Love me some financial aid.
Okay, so now that we've talked it up so much, BetterHelp, everyone out there should go to betterhelp.com/OCT and you can join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Yes.
You
know? Oh, and if these Ovaries Could Talk listeners get 10% off your first month.
Amazing.
At betterhelp.com/OCT.
That's betterhelp.com/OCT for 10% off your first month.
Catherine, so you went through a transformation too. So how did you come there? How did that transformation go for you?
You know, it was a process, and I dealt with a lot of fear, mostly because I didn't have a visual for how things would look. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't picture what our lives would look like. And so I was just really afraid, and I didn't even know what I was afraid of. But I was just afraid of the unknown. And I was definitely very much afraid of losing this person who I had fallen so desperately in love with. And to complicate all of this, this was a private conversation we were having just between the two of us. Like, we weren't talking to anybody else in the world about it at this point. So it was very kind of complicated. And there was a time there where I tried really carefully to refer to Nick with no gendered pronouns for a while, because we knew, you know, that he was a he, but we weren't quite ready to tell the world yet. And so I was doing these mental gymnastics.
You know, I probably would have come out so much earlier, but we had these beautiful children to think about, and we had, how were they going to take it? And how is it going to affect them? And honestly, 4 years ago, the landscape was different. There were trans people were not in the news. They were not anywhere. When you Googled how to show to your kids as transgender, there was not one article. I couldn't find the thing. And, 4 years has made a huge difference in the information that we have out there, but there was literally nothing. The only person I could find was Aiden Dowling. And then there was and then there's Buck Angel, which none of those guys are all Teek and Aiden have kids now, but they have under 1 year olds.
Yeah.
It just, there wasn't anyone that was out there who had done what we did. It was a lot of therapy and a lot of preparation. And we had a whole plan for telling the kids, and we had all these things to set it all up. And then our kids were like, yeah, cool, Dad. Is that what I call you now? Wicked. No. Let me eat this pepperoni.
I love it.
Were they really? Was that easy?
Truly that easy. They didn't give a shit.
Do you think they intuitively knew?
One of our kids instantly was like, oh, I have eyes. I could see.
Which is not to say that they, of course, didn't do deeper processing and have thoughts about it and feelings about it. But it was funny.
But it wasn't like,
what? Up for this huge climactic moment. And the moment itself, they were like, huh. So what, you'll grow a beard? Or
okay. Cool. So you want me to call you Dad? What do you want me to call you?
They're taking more of it funny than they're supposed to. It quickly went right back into normal family conversation.
I love kids.
Yeah.
So that was the first of many conversations.
Of course.
Because with kids, you truly have to come out 1,000 times. And when we were making a documentary, we showed one of the rough cuts to one of our little ones. And they were like, oh, Daddy, are you becoming a mommy?
True story.
Oh, you'll be such a beautiful mommy. While watching the a cut of the documentary, because it was me talking about transitioning. And she was like, cool. Oh, you're going to be a beautiful mommy.
I love that she was like, you're like,
no, I already did that, sweetheart.
You just
it already happened.
But they're so open and they take it in, but it's also, it's that drop the seed theory that Lisa, the therapist, talked about. You just drop the seeds with the kids and you keep dropping the seeds. Yeah. And when they're ready to take it in, they take it in. And
it makes for some funny moments though. Like when your kid goes to school and tells their primary school teacher, came out of my daddy's vagina. And the teacher of course is like, well, no, honey, I mean your mom's vagina. And she's like, no, my dad's.
Yeah.
And I came out of my dad's vagina.
So seem like you're just very open about your story. That's just
there isn't a lot of secrecy around it. I don't want my kids to think that I'm ashamed of who I am. Even if my kids didn't exist, if them being quiet wasn't a thing, I'm not willing to let go of those experiences that made me who I am. And so I choose to be visible, because I'm a cis passing, stereotypically decent looking white middle class dude. I have all the privilege in the world when it comes to being on the trans spectrum. There's very few trans people who have more privilege than I do. And so I want to use that to move forward as much as I can. And if what some stupid Republican needs is to see a somewhat look like him white guy and go, oh, that's not that weird, I guess I can get around that, then that's one step forward for all of trans people. It lets them connect with someone that looks like them.
Is that why you chose to do the movie, the documentary?
Yeah, the documentary came out of that, and it came out of, we were sitting at a gala for a local organization here called Skipping Stone, and it was their trans youth week. And it was their rainbow gala, and it was all these kids coming up on stage with their moms and dads and just by themselves and being like, every single one of them said who will love me? Like no one's going to love me.
All these teenagers just being like, I just hope that someday someone will love me. And I'm just sitting there, right? Just being like, oh my God, they will. I swear. Yeah. And he was like holding me down. He's like, sit down. That's not appropriate. I'm like, but I have to tell them.
And our kids were at the table, and it was just like us with our children at this table watching all these trans kids say, I don't know who will love me. And their mom saying, I just hope to God that like he or she will have this beautiful life where they'll have love and they'll have a family. And we were just like, oh, we have that. We can show them that that's possible while also being realistic about what it's not fun to be trans. Like, you know, it's so often we gloss over the messy parts that no one will believe the good parts.
So you shared messy parts?
We have them. Yeah. And I am like, this year I punched a hole in the wall. That's a messy part for
that's
you.
Right. That's a messy part. You know, like, I got a little temper. I get that.
Yeah. I just did it. I just was like, ugh.
Would you have done that before the testosterone too?
No, not at all. I literally did not have a healthy, like, I don't believe that I could actually access anger. I had, like, you always say that I actually have a healthy level of anger now that I didn't have before.
So you know what it's like to go through the world as a woman. Mm-hmm. And now you know what it's like to go through life as a man.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because I'm always walking around thinking, oh, he has it so easy. Oh, that fucking asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that fucking asshole. I'm not calling you an asshole.
Yeah. With your white male privilege.
Right. But like the white male privilege. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah. And if this is not okay to ask, please tell me.
No, it's totally okay.
But I just, because you have both, you are like the most amazing individual because you have both sides of this. You can see it.
Yeah.
You know, and you came from the side of the woman, which is the oppressed one. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So like, let's.
So I always say that I truly, one of our biggest fights we had early on was because I was like, oh, I don't identify as a feminist.
And I was like, excuse me.
I will fucking cut you, she said.
This relationship bitch. That made a deal breaker.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I mean, like, it's not that bad. I think it's probably like a Canadian American thing. Like, it's not that bad here in comparison.
Right.
And then I transitioned to male and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, really?
Because you got treated differently.
Because I got treated differently. And all of a sudden, the world listened to me when I spoke. The world congratulated me on the beauty of my wife.
Stop it.
The world.
Stop it.
The world.
She's pretty.
Listens when I talk and believes me. I no longer had to justify everything that I thought. The whole world, you're not, like, literally, you're not crazy, women. Mm-hmm.
That, by the way, because it's like we all have this inkling that it's happening.
Oh, it's fucking happening.
We say it out loud, but then in the back of our head, we always go, maybe it's not happening.
It's happening. Maybe. It's absolutely happening. Wow. The thing that
I love you
didn't
for saying
expect,
that.
Though, is that literally this, like, male privilege does exist, but it is its own cage. That being a man is its own cage in itself. Men believe that, honestly, that their only real worth is procreation, providing, and protection. So only worth to women is, can you support me? Can you provide for me? Can you give me babies?
Wow. So it's a double-edged sword.
The number of small dick jokes I hear in a day, as a guy who has no dick, or a very tiny one, I suppose, like, literally men's whole worth is like, how big is your penis and how do you use it?
Yeah.
And if you have a big penis and you use it well, then you probably make a lot of money.
Right. So it's a double-edged sword. It sucks on both sides, but it is really nice to hear you say that, yes, we are valid in our feelings. Yeah.
You are not making it up.
You're not making it up.
Being treated as the lesser sex.
I'm just saying that the cage doesn't serve men as much as, like, it's not serving them either. I don't understand why they're keeping it going. I always will say that, like, the woman's house is on fire. It's like halfway burnt to the ground. We're like trying to hose it off. The man's house is literally, it's there standing up, not on fire, but it's fucking dilapidated and about to fall down any moment.
Right. But not even as known. Like, at least we know it's fucked up, us ladies.
And remember that the women are the ones raising these boys.
Right.
Right? Like, how does that happen?
Some of it happens because of nature and some of it happens because of nurture. Like, my son came out with a distinct personality and my daughter came out with a distinct personality that they came out with. And Stacey Ann Chin was not arguing with me, but like saying, you know, but how much of that was mirrored back to them by society? And it's just, I don't know, like,
who could ever know, right? You could never do a controlled experiment. Yeah.
And it's like, we're cats and dogs.
We can all make sure that we don't let our boys get away with things and that we don't let our girls play small, right? It's like you have to swing, the pendulum is swung so hard in one direction that we have to swing pretty hard to the other direction just to come out.
To maybe get some equal.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that just us being conscious of it is a huge part of
yes.
this.
Yeah.
And it's not even so much, it is that big stuff, but it's also the subliminal, like, it's okay, get up and try again is what we tell boys, shake it off. Not as in like, we don't care about your feelings and you can't cry, but we also are like, you can do it, get back out there.
Yeah.
We're like with our girls, we're like, oh, does that hurt? Come here. You probably want to sit down. Like it's those messages where we're training our girls to be perfect, not brave. And we're training our boys to be brave, not perfect.
Yeah.
We're doing this.
Yeah.
Sort of weird thing. And I do think that some of it is nature. I look at just like I look at even myself before testosterone and after testosterone. And I go before testosterone, when something really bad happened, I would get so sad and eat a bucket of ice cream and sit on the couch and watch a rom-com and cry and have my feelings. And now when something bad happens, I jump right to rage. I'm angry and I have to do something about it. And it's nothing has changed in me other than my hormone rate.
It's pretty astonishing to witness, because I am all about not, like I just said, not letting boys get away with things because quote unquote boys will be boys. But I will say that watching the effect that testosterone has had on someone who I know really, really, really well has been.
And I'm socialized female.
Yeah, it has been really interesting.
Like I am way more socialized
there
female.
There is a physicality to it. There is a part that's in your body that is. You're reacting a certain way.
You don't get sad anymore. You know. I get angry. And anger fuels movement in a way that sadness doesn't.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Wow. I mean.
Thank you for sharing this.
Seriously.
Thank you so much for being so open and willing to talk about all of it. You know, and.
I can't wait to watch your documentary.
I can't wait. This is going to be one of my favorites.
When is the documentary coming out? What's the name of it? Is it already done? Where can people get it?
It's called Just Another Beautiful Family. It's going to premiere at the Calgary International Film Festival at the end of September. And then it's going to be online starting in October.
I'm so excited.
Okay, so
we got you first.
Yeah.
Yes. That's awesome.
I love that.
And we've just also started a YouTube channel. So we can.
I was going to say, is there social, give us some social media stuff where people can get in touch and follow you and watch all of your business.
That'd be amazing. So you can find us at Beautiful Families Project.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. And that's on all of
on
the channels?
All channels. Yeah. That's our joint thing.
Thank you guys so much for coming and sharing. This was just so wonderful. It was such a, we could probably talk for 17 hours.
I could talk to you forever.
Literally,
I mean,
stop the recording. Everyone fill the wine back up and just come back.
Well, I'm so sad to say we're out of wine. It's like an upsetting moment here.
That's no good.
We're not just coming for dinner. We're staying the night.
Perfect.
Wow. That got weird.
Get your guest room set up.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us. It was an absolute delight.
Oh, that Nick and Catherine.
Oh, I love them so much.
I do too. They're beautiful.
I mean, I really truly think these are the people that are having us over to their house. Although, wait, update.
We got one.
Matt, our season four
last week's episode.
He invited us for wine, but it was
totally
tonight.
And we couldn't do it.
Go.
But
we got invited.
Yeah.
All right,
going to that.
But so I think, so this could be our second one.
Yeah. It's sleepover time.
Because now we're gonna be like Canada. The dicks who have like no time to actually go have wine with him. We're like,
no,
how
we're
about
gonna,
January
we're finding
2020?
We're going to find time. But these two... Nick and Catherine, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. The stuff about gender to me was just
incredible,
mind blowing.
It was really great
and really affirming.
I loved their relationship. Mm-hmm. They were such a match for each other, and it just was so interesting how quickly they fell in love, how deeply, and then just how falling in love gave Nick the space to be who he really was. And
cosmic.
I just fucking incredible.
Cosmic.
Well,
what
listen,
were we doing with our hands? Cosmic.
We were doing things.
Cosmic.
But all I know is that I can't wait to watch their documentary. It was just, it's called Just Another Beautiful Family. And it's, they hit the festival circuit. It's already, I think it's going to be available online pretty soon. So check them out.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, listen, let's keep this conversation going. We guys, join us on the social.
We're all over that.
We are.
Social thing.
We're
now.
So social. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah. So you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/ovariestalk for all kinds of cool extra content, parenting advice, you know, all that stuff, behind the scenes content, all the mess that is Robin.
And fucking Jamie in video.
In video. It's a mess.
And you can get us at ovariestalk on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Ovaries_talk on Insta.
and If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook, and join our community there. We got some new joiners last week, and you could talk to other listeners and, you know, just ask questions. And it's going to be a place where we're going to drop in questions about if, like we're recording something tonight. And when we record, if we have questions for the guests and
from
you have
the
questions.
Group. Yeah.
I could have said that better, but I didn't.
But so. People got it, I think.
I hope so.
Thank you to our sponsor, BetterHelp. And don't forget to listen to the Motherload podcast with Constance Zimmer and Missy Pyle.
Exactly.
Thanks. All right. Ovaries.
Out.
If they thought ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.